This morning, John Morvin Jr. will be sentenced for murder. He faces as much as 189 years in prison for killing two police officers in Hoonah over 2 years ago. 32-year-old Anthony Wallace and 39-year-old Matthew Tokaoka were gunned down as they and their family members socialized on Front Street. Shortly after last November's jury trial, in which Marvin was convicted of murder of both men, the mother of one of the officers sat down with KTOO to share her memories of her son. Debbie Green says her son loved living in Hoonah and loved the people there.
He was happy in Hoonah. He really was happy. He found his hunting place. So.
Green is the mother of Anthony Wallace, the Hoonah officer who was on duty on the evening of August 28, 2010. She had traveled from her home in Florida to visit her son, she calls him Tony, as he worked as a police officer in the small southeast community. Green was participating in the second of two ride-alongs, essentially job shadowing her son as he worked his shift. Just before the shooting that eventually claimed his life, Green remembers him stopping to help a heavily intoxicated man who had fallen.
He was so gentle and so kind to that man. It's like, you know, it was like, buddy, you okay? Can I help you? I mean, and I'm sitting there in his patrol car and I'm just watching him and I'm thinking to myself, I am so proud of him. I need to tell him how proud I am, even though I know he knew, but I just thought I needed to say it. And I never told him.
She never had the chance. Green says that they didn't know that Tony had a hard time hearing until he was about 9 months old. She was a carrier of spinal meningitis during pregnancy, so Tony could not hear high and low tones, but he could still hear sounds and voices.
And he was an avid lip reader. He could read lips better than anybody I could ever think of.
Green later divorced and remarried, but she says the subsequent relationship became abusive. When Tony was 9, she sent him off to live with his father and stepmother because she didn't want him to get hurt. But Green says she always maintained a close relationship with her son.
There was nothing hidden between me and Tony.
She says he always was a good boy with a big heart, and he had a sense of humor that sometimes veered into mild or harmless pranksterism. She says young Tony liked being outside, fishing and hunting, but he didn't take to the usual school sports like football or baseball.
He couldn't seem to channel his anger. I don't know if it's because he was hearing impaired or, you know, he just didn't seem to fit in any kind of sports until he got into wrestling. That was just his thing, was wrestling. He loved it.
Eventually, he became a champion high school wrestler and picked up a scholarship at the Rochester Institute of Technology and the National Institute for the Deaf. Tony Wallace became a three-time All-American, wrestling at 174 and 184 pounds. In a video produced after he was inducted to the RIT Hall of Fame, Wallace remembered suffering what could have been a season-ending knee injury during practice in his senior year.
I'm done, but it's not the end. I don't want it to be over. This is my senior year. I was highly ranked, third or fourth in the country at the time, with an opportunity to go for my third All-American honors, and I didn't want it to be over because I knew that if I quit, it's done, and I'm not a quitter.
He singled out his stepmother, Cindy Wallace, and mother, Debbie Green, as his biggest boosters.
Not always been able to be there for me. To see me compete, but she was always calling me, you know, how'd you do? We're following you on the news, we're following you on the internet. And it's always a great feeling when I come back from a weekend trip that the first thing I get is a phone call from my mom, how you doing? And that's just not just my mom, but also my stepmother.
It's not clear why Wallace was kicked off the team in his sophomore year, but he explained in the video that required community service was an introduction to the campus's public safety department. After college, he worked as an assistant wrestling coach and, for 3 years, as an officer on campus.
He taught police officers and bus drivers and cab drivers the minimal hand signs to deal with the deaf, so that they would know where they were going or what was wrong. So he was very proud of that.
Attracted by Alaska's hunting and fishing opportunities, Wallace parlayed that experience into training at the University of Alaska Fairbanks Law Enforcement Academy and the first of two stints as a Hoonah police officer. It was fulfillment of a dream for him. Green says his father and grandfather were police officers. Wallace became a role model. His hiring as a legally deaf officer was even noted back in New York.
He just always wanted to be a police officer. And the fact that he was hearing impaired and they told him he couldn't just made him that much more determined. He worked harder to become a police officer.
Green says Wallace loved being with kids. While in Hoonah, he took some fishing, others on the Hoonah High School team. He taught wrestling moves. Wallace was also fond of the Toka'oka children. He was gunned down from behind as he visited with them through the open window of the Toka'oka truck on that August evening.
It affected so many people, the town of Hoonah. It just affected all of us. I mean, it wasn't just two families. It was a whole village that it affected. So they loved those two boys. Tony was involved a lot with the kids at the school and playing basketball with them and teaching them wrestling and wrestling moves. And he loved the kids there. He just loved them.
Green says that horrific scene of her son being shot is something that she'll never forget. She continuously relives it over and over every day. When Wallace was transported to the Hoonah Clinic and cared for by emergency personnel, both mother and son engaged in their usual banter that wasn't quite understood by emergency personnel.
"You've been outside smoking a cigarette." I said, "Don't start with me. Do not start with me on my, not right now anyway." So anyway, yeah. Told me a couple times he loved me, and that he said, "I'm done, Mom." I said, what do you mean you're done?" He said, "I'm done being a police officer." And I had told him, I said, "No, you're not." I said, "Tony, I've seen traumas bigger than this."
Green worked as an emergency room and ICU nurse, but Hoonah personnel did the emergency care on Wallace. She comforted him and kept him from pulling the IV out of his arm. She didn't know then how badly Wallace was hurt, or that he had been shot in the back.
"I'm not even angry with John Marvin. I'm not. I've never been angry. I've never been mad. I mean, I'm mad that he took my son, but I'm not. I feel sorry for him. I'm not the one he has to answer to for what he's done. He's got to answer to God for that."
After Wallace died, Green says her mother, Tony's grandmother, who adored him, took it very hard. Although already ill, she passed away only about 6 months later. In addition to Debbie Green and Cindy Wallace, Tony Wallace was survived by a pair of nieces in Florida, Stephanie and Allison, and a teenage daughter, Lexis, in Ohio. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.